Hey guys, I forgot to mention this during the show, but on November 11th, I am doing the Extra Life stream. Extra Life, of course, is the charity foundation that sort of its idea is you game for 24 hours in the support of a charity. In this case, I am, as usual, doing it for the local children's hospital here in Texas. If you'd like to watch that stream, come join me at 8 a.m. Central on twitch.tv/cosmicradio.cosmicradio.tv, I should say. And of course, if you want to kick into the stream, if you want to help support and donate and help, you know, propel my goal into all the fun of, you know, giving children video games and all sorts of stuff that they'd like to have, because, you know, from what I understand, and as a guy that has a father that works in neonatal work, children care can be kind of not so fun when they're really sick. So head to extra-life.org/participant/Vincent404, and there you can give any money. I'm kind of going for a $200 goal just as kind of conservatively, but of course I would like more, and all of it's tax deductible. Everything's totally on the up and up. And of course, you want to find out more information, maybe you want to do your own kind of gaming event, head to extra-life.org and sign up and look for all the details. I'm kind of doing a week after the big gaming day, just for scheduling conflicts and things like that. But either way, you know, come watch. It'll be me, most likely other friends that are nearby. Who knows who will come, because it's always an open door whenever the Extra Life stream is going on. And trust me, strange things happen on the stream. You can ask many friends of just strange random occurrences, from playing Rock Band and having me sing ridiculous songs too. At one point, I actually read some very, very saucy My Little Pony fan fiction, which was kind of weird and strange, but it happened. So if you want to catch some of that sort of weirdness and strangeness in all for the children, and in all support for, you know, a good cause, come join me at 8 a.m. Central on November 11th. All right, on to the show. CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. If you want to join their ranks and support independent content, head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, here in studio, better known as my apartment, Patrick Anderer.
I had to make the long trip up like 12 steps.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Patrick lives in my apartment complex now. He used to live across from my apartment, and now he lives literally underneath my apartment. So anytime I can literally go... And he'll hear it, hopefully.
Yes.
theoretically, I can do things. Maybe I can be that annoying neighbor that, like, dances.
I have a broomstick, and I know how to use it.
Be thankful I don't have DDR pets.
And I found, like, the old apartment, like, 2 months before we moved out, like, 2 9-year-olds moved in there, and it's just once, like... Twice a week, it sounds like an earthquake because there are 2 9-year-olds running around.
Be thankful I do not have a DDR pad. At one point, I was going to have a solid
hard pad.
I was
like
one day
ones, yeah.
At one point, I think it was my friend Serge and I. It might have been Serge or somebody else, where we were committed somehow to making DDR hard pads.
I have a friend in college who did that. Basically took apart a PS2 controller to get all the switches.
Yeah.
But had acrylic and, you know, bent some aluminum with a box break. And
I still thought about doing it.
It didn't like light up or any of that cool stuff, but it was a hard DDR pad.
I think I could do it now better.
It requires access to certain tools that you probably don't have access to.
Right. Well, I have friends that have access to those certain tools.
Yeah.
But even that being said, I think I could do it now because there are better pieces of equipment out on the field to do like a PC-based one, and that'd be...
Well, I mean, you're building a controller. Like,
right.
You just need some switches in the right place.
That's the idea. I've thought about it, where if I were to do it, I'd basically make a hard pad. It'd have sort of a a port on the end of it.
I'm yeah, sure you just kind put a USB port.
Well, not even a USB port. It'd actually be this sort of thing that would be like a serial, like a terminal block, if you will.
Yeah.
And then out of that would come another, like a serial port that would then plug into a like, control box of sorts. That I could then make that control box, let's say, like an Arduino or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be really
here's
easy.
Here's PC1.
I mean, you could just do what people do when they build, like, arcade pads.
Right,
exactly. You take a keyboard apart and you buy a keyboard, or you just buy a keyboard controller.
Well, there's even
that's the easy way to do it.
Well, there's a good one out there. I think it's – I forget who makes it. It might be – I forget what the brand of it's called, but it exists out there and you can buy it, where it's just basically a keyboard.
Yeah.
It mimics a keyboard, but the trick behind it is because the only issue you have with keyboards a lot of times, especially when it comes to really shitty keyboards.
Yeah.
That you don't notice when you're typing unless you're like a really fucking crazy typer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really notice in gaming, but you can notice in gaming. It becomes really tricky with a thing called what's called ghosting,
mm-hmm.
where you basically have inputs like come over and over and over and over again. And so what'll happen with arcade sticks, because they're doing things like hitting the arrow key and the A key and the B key at the same time. And it's like, I have too many inputs. Drop this last one.
But that's why like gaming keyboards have end key rollover.
Right,
you
exactly.
just need a keyboard controller capable of that.
Right, and the thing is they make ones now specifically for
building stuff. Yeah, for building. It's just got a bunch of places to plug in wires.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's again, if you have the time and the tools and the means, go for it. But can you just buy one with a USB plug on it that works with everything? Because I bet you can.
There are. I mean, there's all sorts of those sort of things.
That's the thing is, and I like making stuff. I make a lot of stuff for myself when I can. But once in a while, sometimes you just got to buy the thing.
I will buy a lot of those things, but I've thought about making, like, the thing is, the question goes,
I don't know if anyone's still building hard pads.
There are.
Because
there are,
DDR is...
There are actually companies that are still building them. There's actually, to be honest, one of the companies that makes hard pads, they made a custom graphic pad for Crypt of the NecroDancer, which I've never played Crypt this way, but I want to play Crypt this way so fucking bad. You can play it with a DDR pad. It's designed to be that, because it's basically a rhythm roguelike game.
Uh-huh.
And you can play it that way.
You can play it with just the four buttons.
Right. And I've so wanted to play it that way, but I don't have obviously a pad to freaking play the game with. But they made it. And I think I'd like to say the last time they were at Fantastic Arcade, they had brought their pads with them or something along those lines. Like the last time they were there officially after release or somewhere they were playing it that way. And it's like, oh, I would love to try that just one time of just trying this sort of thing. And the company does make hard pads as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a scene for that kind of, especially on what's the, is it step? Not Step It Up. What's the,
Step Mania.
I think or so.
That
yeah.
Was that Mania. Was the PC one.
Right. The emulator. But I think it's In the Groove now is the actual application.
Yeah.
There is a really good community out there of designers of levels, but let me put it let me make it even insaner. So because the way the engine's set up, you can actually Lua script the shit. Like you can script out crazy things and kind of crazy effects and whatnot. There's a really good guy out there. I think it's like Taro 25 something. If you look this up, you'll find it. But if you look up literally Undertale in the Groove video. He has made a slew of like crazy custom stuff, like inspired from Undertale. He's made a whole bunch of other stuff as well. He's a really talented guy and a really amazing person in this community, specifically for making custom levels, not just like dance patterns, but like scripted events and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like to the point where within the like he'll do a song for like say for example at Undertale. There's a moment in there where you're fighting sort of spider. And in Undertale in the game, just this won't be too much spoilery effect, but they'll do a lot of weird things with the battle mechanics, depending on what you're trying to do. And at one point, it shifts the way that you enter, work with the battle mechanic to be on these kind of thread sort of stuff. In any case, the way that the level does it, like it gets weird and insane, but it does a freaking amazing job of how it visually shows it. I'll just show you a video of this because a lot of it is just this. crazy thing of like you watch it and you go like, that's what you could do with this game. I mean, one of the other really, really hard levels he's designed is specifically the Megalomania level. The sort of, there's this hidden super hard level, and I'm saying hidden and super hard level because I don't want to describe any of the game and, mm-hmm. and reveal any of that end ending, and depending on which way you go, you'll see it, or maybe you won't. But it's a very beautifully done in the groove level DDR, because it does things with, you know, it uses the scripting to its advantage to make this very unique experience. You watch it as a guy that can't play it, because you watch it, I'll never be able to fucking play this.
Yep.
Even could play it normally. But if you're watching it and you're just studying it, it's like, that's such a creative way of fucking displaying that.
I mean, it's very much so, you know, 5-10 years ago, people had, you know, were building custom levels for Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
Like the original NES games, because
right.
they had been hacked apart. And then Nintendo came out with a game Super that literally Mario is, Maker. Oh, do you want to build Mario? Yeah, build Mario
but
levels.
But even then, they've done such a great job of like saying, oh you want to have fun with Mario? Here's every freaking crazy yeah. idea we've ever had. For things we couldn't quite figure out how to work in the game.
And people figured stuff out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, like, anything in the world where you can occasionally like get the hive mind on something,
right?
It does sometimes turn into really great stuff. The internet is sometimes the worst place in the world, sometimes the best.
It's interesting, especially when it comes to all that stuff, and especially when it comes to that kind of crazy stuff. But yeah, I've thought about getting. Like, I kind of want to get back into DDR. I was actually at Pinball's Arcade here,
yep.
up in Lake yep. Creek. They actually have a solo DDR machine up there.
Do they have a DDR machine now at Lake Creek? Because they did not the
they
last
do.
Time we
they
were
do.
There. They had that thing where the pads are
in,
on the corners.
Step it up.
Or whatever. Yeah, the fake DDR.
That's not
like,
fake DDR. It's Korean DDR.
It's weird. Cause
it's Korean DDR.
All the buttons are in the wrong place.
At least I think Step It Up is Korean.
But, yeah.
I have to always check the
last
shit.
Last time I was there, I know the original pinballs had a DDR machine in the
yeah.
back of some
They have
nature.
A DDR solo machine there at Lake Creek. And solo is a very specific one. I think mm-hmm. it's fourth mix, actually. Basically, what solo did is... If you think of a dual one having, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 3, 4 like that,
yeah.
Solo is the one that has the diagonals on there.
So it has
so you can,
nine pads around you or eight pads around you?
You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you have, okay. So if you think of, you have up, down, left, right, you have this diagonal, you have
and if front diagonal, two front diagonals.
Right, exactly. Like. And I think in super hard mode, that's when you have to compete with all those sort of things.
Oh.
And it's interesting.
I am the worst person at DDR, so I play drums and I have all the rhythm in the world, but I suck at rhythm games. It's so foreign to me. I'm terrible at Rock Band and Guitar Hero. They just, for whatever reason, the button memorization required, and it just doesn't suit me. I'm not even that good at Rock Band drums, because they just don't feel like a drum kit to me. Like, there's no feedback. You're like, the pedal doesn't feel like a bass pedal. And I know, like, there is an electric drum key you get to hook up and all that. And if I could afford electric drums, I would already have them. But, like, it's such an odd thing to be someone who can keep a beat and not, like, rhythm games escape me.
By the way, it was Pump It Up.
Pump It Up.
Pump It Up. And Pump It Up is, and that I always forget the name because it's such a, it's
an odd game.
It's interesting. It's an interesting.
You're like, oh my God, there's a DDR. Oh, what is this madness?
Yeah. I that's what I'm trying to remember, because if I'm not mistaken, I think it's, I'd like to say it's Korean. And mm-hmm. I don't want to misspeak on this, because it's one of the better, because there's a lot of people out there who swear by it mm-hmm. as better, and there's a lot of people out there who are like, fuck this is not DDR, and
yeah.
there's a lot of people who swear by DDR, and there's a lot of Pump It Up players who are like, fuck you, I can't believe you.
It's Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter.
It's even more so than that, because it gets to the point where it's a bit, yep, it is Korean, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, I always
thought it was Tekken versus Virtua Fighter.
I think it's more, yeah, I guess you could say Tekken versus Virtua Fighter. That's a more adept thing. And I don't want to get into talking about, you know, what fighting game's vastly superior or not, because that's not an interesting conversation. But that being said, I have tried to play.
And
Pump
the correct answer to that is Soul Calibur.
That is the incorrect answer.
That is the correct answer. Soul Calibur forever.
Nah, so, I mean, Soul Calibur is not a bad game. It just has, some brokenness to it, but that's neither here nor there. Sometimes it's fun to have the brokenness to it. But going back to Pump It Up, like I've wanted to, like, I have gone at least two or three times trying to play that game, but my brain is so ingrained in how DDR works that every time I try to play Pump It Up, that I'm just like, oh,
you're
wait.
Stepping in the wrong place.
Like, oh, wait, there's a middle button. Oh, shit, yeah. That's right, there's a middle button. Oh, fuck, there's a middle button. Fuck, I keep forgetting about the middle button.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I have to do this in the middle. Because, again, it's not different. It's not a different game in terms of...
But all the muscle memory that you get out of DDR is out
the
window.
If you boil down both Dance Dance Revolution and Pump It Up, they're roughly the same game in terms of, and I say like roughly.
Yeah,
meaning,
you step on a box in accordance with the music.
Right, exactly. You or hold it in accordance with what the display is, or do X, Y, or Z. There's not a difference in how the mechanic works. There's not like, oh, this one has the Pump It Up feature where if you hit the trigger button and hit the Pump It Up, your score, not your score modifier goes high, but an extra pad is revealed and that becomes sort of the monolith pad that if you hit, you win the game or something. You know, there's no specialty to that. There's no, you know, weird mechanic added to Pump It Up that becomes, oh, this is the nuke button where you get to, you know, if you hit the button at the right time, you get $1 million or something, although that'd be fucking amazing.
We'd all play a lot of Pump It Up until we won $1 million. I'd get real good at it. I'll build some Pump It Up bot to just sit there like four legs and just stomp on the corners.
Figure this shit out. Like, I'm fucking reverse engineering this. I'm getting that million.
Yeah, I'll just build a Pump It Up bot. I can do that.
Well, that always amazed me when I see some of the racing games. I think like on the American side, it's not the Fast and Furious. What is it called?
Cruising USA.
Not Cruising. No, this is newer stuff.
Arcade games?
Yeah, the newer stuff, like the newer racing game. I don't know what the newest.
I don't know enough about. Oh, Need for Speed. Yeah, well, those are still the good Need for Speed games were 10 years ago.
Well, the funny thing I was saying about it is some of the arcade games, and I don't know if they still do this, but I guess they had like network access to where you could actually go into tournaments and win money.
Well, so that happens at the console level. There's literally, if you're really into Gran Turismo, which you shouldn't be, it's inferior to Forza at this point.
Oh.
They haven't been good at it in about 10 years, too. But they did a program where they did these massive tournaments in Gran Turismo, and if you won, you got to go to race school and drive real cars.
Right.
And people from that are literally world-class racing drivers now.
Oh, that's kind of
cool. Somebody who came, it's called GT Academy, and someone who came from that won Le Mans.
Oh, wow.
A couple of years ago was on a winning team, I think, prototype challenge car, which is sort of a spec class.
That's kind
of
cool.
And a lot of people have come through GT Academy and became good drivers. And it's in part what racing games at like the sort of simulator level teach you is you can learn what a good line looks like. You can learn how to memorize a track. You can learn sort of the
basics.
You learn the theory of racing. And if you have a wheel, you can get some of the muscle memory, but at some point, like, transferring it to a car is a totally different thing.
Well, because, again,
and some people just take to it. A lot of them, what was true about most of the GT Academy people who were very successful was they did some real amateur racing outside of that, and this was their first opportunity to be in a more formal environment in a good car and really get a lot of track time, and that was what they had.
Well, because a lot of it, I'd imagine, especially when it comes to racing, that's a really hard thing to mimic virtually just because of things. And this is something you almost think of if you've ever really driven a car.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain feel to the road.
Yeah, G-forces feel. So what the big things people say is a good simulator, with like a dedicated simulator, not something you would have in your house, you can get a lot of it. But the thing that's really difficult with racing games is it's really hard to convey the change in elevation. So Circuit of the Americas has this 100, like, it's, you know, how, what, 12-story climb up turn one. It's a really steep hill. If you saw that hill and you had to walk up, you'd be like, that's a steep hill.
Yeah.
And it changes the way the car works. Basically, you load the suspension going into it, and if you come off of a hill and you come down a hill, you unload the suspension, you lose grip. And it's while you can model it in a game, you can't make the person playing it feel
well,
it. It's really
hard,
difficult.
It's hard to, you know, how do you simulate that kind of haptic feedback?
Yeah.
You know,
and it's, and I guess like Formula One simulators that the Formula One teams do that are built like directly for that can do some more of that.
Because it's like a flight simulator. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it's basically like, a flight simulator with a car.
You can, you know, you have hydraulic pumps.
If you have hundreds of thousands of dollars to put into a simulator, you can
You can put hydraulic pumps
and
have
that kind
of elevation.
You can get great force feedback wheels and you can get reasonably good feeling pedals. Now, that is a thing. If you've got $1,000, you can get a pretty decent setup.
Right. But it's, again, there's other things. And it, you know, I wouldn't even thought the elevation side of things.
Elevation's the big
I wouldn't even have thought about that.
Because most people know what it feels like to turn hard because they drive a car every day. It's not very often you crest a hill or hit a dip really hard in a normal passenger car. And especially not at the limit where doing one thing wrong, your car's spinning at 100 miles an hour towards a wall.
Right, exactly.
It's like it's really hard to replicate outside of actually
doing it. Well, it's really hard to replicate going that fast and that, because again, while I know what a feel of a road is and I know what a hard turn is, I don't know what a hard turn feels like at 200, you know, 100 tops.
Yeah.
You know, where I have to bank.
Neither do I.
Right.
I have driven a car in anger more than once in my life and I have never been near the limit of a car.
No, and you never will. You know?
No, because you just can't on the street and still, if you recognize that there is an inherent danger to driving a car and that there are other people that you might hurt, you hold
this
back.
Why,
and that's why you should hold back.
Right.
And people who don't hold back end up hurting other people or themselves.
Right.
And I don't want to be that guy.
And even in real racing.
Vehicular homicide will ruin your day.
Yeah. Of course it will. It'll ruin anyone's day.
Yeah, it'll ruin your day.
It'll ruin your life. But yeah.
So drive safely.
Exactly. And that's sort of why, you know, whenever I hear like, oh yeah, there's going to be this illegal street race over here. Just like,
there's one illegal street race I approve of, and that's the cannonball, because it's not a wheel-to-wheel thing, and it's sort of a man versus machine versus time versus technology. I will at some point in my life attempt one. I need the right car and enough money and time. And
you need the
planning.
Time off. That's really what you need.
It's at some point in my life I will make a real attempt at it. I'm not going to break it. I know I can. It's almost impossible now. But I want to get into the times they were doing in the 70s. If I can get into like the mid 30 hour mark, New York to LA, I will be totally content.
I think my next driving goal, and it's not because – like my next real driving-esque goal is to get my international driver's license or driver's permit, the IDP, which is not that hard to get, and then drive someplace else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely either Japan or –
someplace with right-hand drive, probably.
Yeah, that's sort of my next driving mission, because I don't have any other – like I don't really care if I have to drive the Autobahn or not. Like that's not my goal in life, but just to have to drive someplace else might be fun. Apparently there's an article recently, Ash in the show chat.
Yeah, McLaren got into a don't street race. Street racing is bad.
Yeah.
The cannonball is a different event. It's a different thing. Street racing
is
awful.
Cannonball is, I mean, again, we always think of the guy.
But it was a real thing. And but here's the thing. No one ever died or got hurt in the roughly 10-year history of the cannonball.
Right.
Because the whole race was predicated. So going into the nerd that I am, the whole idea of the cannonball was a protest of the 55-mile-an-hour national speed limit. It was a middle finger to Ralph Nader in the early 70s by Brock Yates, who wrote for Car and Driver, who recently passed away, and may he rest in peace. Brock Yates, you're the best. And the movie was to try to retell it. It ended up being a comedy. It was originally slated to star Steve McQueen and be a serious racing movie. He passed away before it ever made it into production. So
yeah.
Burt Reynolds. Who I adore, and the movie would not be the same without him. And I love Cannonball Run's one of my all-time favorites. But the whole notion is a good driver in a good car can go double plus this 55-mile-an-hour speed limit safely.
Yeah.
And without hurting themselves or anyone else. It was always to prove the point that they could be safe and that 55 wasn't making people safer. If you want people to not get hurt in car accidents, teach them to drive.
Yes.
That's the difference between us and most of the Western world, is our driver's education is non-existent. And to get a driver's license in most of Europe or Japan, it takes a great deal of effort
and
practice and training.
Yeah, for sure. And that's sort of the thing that, especially when you go to the Autobahn, everyone talks about the Autobahn, like, oh, you can go as fast as you want. Not really.
Very few sections of it anymore.
Yeah. And even then, there are very, very strict.
The number of unrestricted sections left is very low.
Right.
And here's the thing. So when you drive down a highway in America and you're driving, let's say, a little fast, say you're in a 65 going 75, there's always some asshole in the left lane going under the speed limit. If you do that in Europe or Japan, you get pulled over.
Yeah, you have to be
They understand the concept of lane discipline.
Yeah, yeah. The left lane is purely for passing.
You pass. You come to the car in front of you. You say he's going too slow. You pull into left lane. You pass him, and you move over. Left lane, I guess, or right lane.
Whatever.
Basically, but you move into the passing lane. The passing lane is for passing only.
Right, exactly.
And they enforce it. If we took the number of police officers pulling people off over for minor speeding infractions and use them to actually combat people who hang out in the left lane, we'd be safer.
Yeah.
Speed doesn't kill you.
Right.
What makes highways dangerous is lack of flow. When you interrupt the flow by either having one person going way too fast or people going way too slow, that's when bad stuff happens.
Yeah.
If everyone's all going 120 miles an hour, they're all safe. Because they're all going the same speed. It's when someone changes that.
Yeah, it was very interesting because also the doc went to, and it was like I think it was a History Channel sort of thing, kind of talking about this.
There's also the Autobahn is built much better than
Well, that was also the thing too, is that there's a lot of maintenance. There's
2 feet of asphalt there.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah,
in America, there's 4 or 5 inches of asphalt at most. If you're really lucky, I am appalled at the roads here because there is no winter, there's no freeze thaw, and they're just as bad as Pennsylvania roads.
Yep. Oh yeah, no, there's never.
I took 130 for the first time, the toll road here. It's a 85 mile an hour speed limit, which is totally sensible on that road, but like it's 5 years old and the asphalt quality is garbage.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No.
Like I would feel safer on a farm road back home going fast than I would.
It's interesting.
On that,
well, because again, there's a lot of.
It's 130 is not going well.
No. Well, we've got a lot of other bullshit to deal with when it comes to our paved roads here in Austin, Texas.
Traffic here is insane. Now, here's the thing. What I will say about Texas, the speed limits are sensible.
Really?
70 or 75 most places.
Well,
because you have space to do it.
Well, that was the same place even in Michigan. Like Michigan, it was always
Pennsylvania, 65 is as high as you see. They put the first 70 mile an hour speed limit in Pennsylvania last year.
Interstates were always 70,
awesome.
75.
But and, like if you go north of Austin on 35 and you get into like through, you know, Waco and stuff.
That used to be
it's 75.
That used to be different here. They used to have, and they've since restricted it, but they used to have nighttime speed limit restrictions.
Yeah. Which is, I understand why.
Visibility.
Cars headlights are so good now.
Yeah, now it's such a
I understand why in the 1980s when everyone was on shitty sealed beam headlights that like and headlights in this country could be a lot better. It's another thing we screw up royally because we suck at life.
Tell us how you really think about cars.
We've
had this discussion before.
Well, so for example, Audi made lights with lasers, and what the whole point was is you can get high beam brightness without affecting the vision of someone coming at you because you can aim it perfectly.
Right.
We can't have those in America because our antiquated 30-year-old laws about headlights, they don't quite fit into, even though they're safer for everyone, for the driver and for the other and for other people on the road.
It's and definitely
that's like the thing. And a lot of stuff's like that in this country. We have terrible import laws where like you have to wait 25 years to import anything because basically because in the 80s people were gray market importing Mercedes and BMWs because the German equivalents were better.
So that leads into something interesting that I kind of want to bring up because it came up on The Verge and it came up on some websites as of late. I think the company's called I'm gonna mess their name up. But it's basically this aftermarket self-driving car.
Oh, Comma AI with GeoHot. So I'm super familiar with this because I'm a car nerd and a guy I follow writes a lot about it.
What do you think of? So before Patrick goes in talking opinion, this, so I'll give the quick gist of it all. So Geohot, the guy who's developing this, sort of he's
the guy who cracked the PS3,
right? Yeah, a couple other things too.
His claim to fame is cracking the encryption on PS3,
right? So, flash forward a bit. He's working on this third-party add-on.
Basically, for $1,000, he wants to add Tesla autopilot to certain cars.
Right. And
basically, it's a couple of Honda and Acura products.
Exactly.
That have, basically, they have electric steering and electric, they have enough stuff that he can control.
Right.
To do this.
So, anyways, he publishes a blog post. And
there's been tests of this. People have driven this.
Right.
Or it's driven people.
Sure.
And according to the source I'm going to quote, who is Alex Roy, who writes for The Drive, which is a sort of up-and-coming car blog owned by Time, I believe owns it, Time Inc. He says, and he has driven a Tesla across the country on 99% autopilot. He is about as familiar with anyone. Coast to coast in the least time on autopilot.
Sure.
He says what Comma AI that he has gotten to see is better at it than anything Tesla's doing right now. But the problem is,
and this is, sort of-
is Geohot is.
So yeah, he is
of the techno-libertarian set, and he was pissed off that the NHTSA was like, these are the questions we ask everyone trying to make AI in cars. We're going to ask them to you, and he took his ball and went home.
So let's explain what the NH... So that's basically...
National Highway Traffic Safety Association.
Right. So basically, they send a letter, and it wasn't that sternly worded.
These are the questions that are required to be answered.
Basically asking,
Tesla answered these. Mercedes answered these.
Yeah.
These are our things that you need to address to put this on the market.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's... before you start selling this to people, let's figure it. Let us see it be safe. Let us see if you because there are certain laws and restrictions.
Yes,
because if you sell
people, it's not anything unreasonable.
Yeah, no.
And he just techno libertarian overreacted and took his ball and went
home.
That's
what I was like.
And here's the thing: there will be a Comma AI 2. That's why they called it the one. There will be another one. It will be better, and it will be better able to address this. But like these questions have been known forever.
That's why
I understand what he was trying to put out a beta product. He was going to sell a few hundred units of to very committed people. It was never going to be a mass market product. This version was intended to be the beta.
Right,
test.
That being said, Tesla's autopilot isn't. I mean,
it's still in beta and it has its issues. It's not perfect. It's good.
Right, but
it does some things well. It doesn't do everything well.
Anyone can buy a Tesla car.
Yes, but Tesla had to answer these questions.
Right, exactly. And when I read the article, it was. Such a like it was because I saw the article. I think it was The Verge or Ars Technica, one of the sites. I keep those are my two like real hardcore tech sites, The Verge and Ars Technica. If you're ever curious where I get my tech news from,
what do you think of The Verge redesign in the last 2 days?
That's not so bad.
I'm not sure.
I
have mixed feelings about The Verge. I think sometimes they write great stuff, and sometimes I think they have all the same inherent problems that all tech blogs have had for a long time.
I typically go for them.
Ars Technica is a lot. Ars Technica is about as straight as shooters as you.
Oh yeah, ours I go a lot of times for if there's a security kerfuffle, I'll go to ours really quickly.
Yes, they're the most technically literate and probably the least alarmist.
If I need a really really in depth of how the hack actually worked, I'll go to Curbs.
That's getting super nerdy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have my levels. Of,
yes, ours
of how,
is great.
Ours is my overview of security.
I don't read much tech stuff anymore. That used to be my main thing. Now I
keep up a lot of
car
security, network security stuff.
Yeah,
that's my industry. My day job industry. But even then, it's still one of my passions. So I will go to ours for a quick overview of something tech wise. I'll go to The Verge for a quick overview of something tech wise, product wise.
Uh-huh.
Like if it's a product that launched or some website went down or something's going bye bye, I'll go, okay, let me go to The Verge to get a quick glance. Cool. If I really want to go in the nuts and bolts of the business side of it, I'll go to TechCrunch really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And usually I don't give a damn about the business side, so I'll just get the overview. And if it's an overview on something else, like a security kerfuffle, I'll go to ours and then kind of browse around there. And if it's anything I really, really want to read up, I'll do a Google search and find the Curbs article and read it that way. And it's all the same kind of thing. But The Verge did an article on ours, and I can't remember who, but you know, I was reading the actual letter because I said, here's the script of the letter that got sent. Yeah. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound too bad. That just sounds like someone's asking, hey, what the fuck's going on with this thing?
And the thing is, in part, like, and the NHTSA and stuff have not really been proactive in trying to figure out what the requirements for self-driving cars are
going
to be.
But even they've been very slow,
very much like the FAA and drones.
Right.
Like, we all know, and most people who are in that business are like, no, we're okay with standards and requirements. We just need them, and we need them to be published and make sense, and they've been very, because government bureaucracy, they're slow to come out.
Well, even that being said, the letter that got sent to Geohot, like, it references blog post. You said this, but we don't really know what the fuck that means.
Uh-huh.
And it was trying to basically ascertain, you know, it's totally cool if you're doing this, and just we want to make sure, especially when it came to that product. And that was the interesting thing that was brought up in there that I didn't even think about. But when Tesla designed their autopilot thing, they had full complete control of that car.
Yeah.
You know, they designed it, not just simply asking the questions, answering them.
Yeah.
But they engineered it into the car. Here's somebody coming into another car that he has enough things to control for sure and able to
do it. He's going in through CAN bus, which is sort of what I would call the internal, it is how most modern cars are internally connected. It's a standard that almost all manufacturers
use. For sure. But at the same regard, he doesn't have the benefit of making the car. And so
here's what he's doing. And this is the way he's looking at it, as opposed to Tesla and how it's being framed, is what does a driver do?
Right.
A driver sees. A driver can turn a wheel. He can hit a gas pedal. He can hit a brake pedal. Okay. We can, in this car, have control of all of those things because they're all, it's some way, electronically actuated.
For sure.
That's a thing he can do.
No, again, it's not so much of the tech. It was the idea of, like, you know, what does this do, anything to compromise any of the already secure, you know, not just security features, but safety features. And again, it's because whether you like it or not, you're driving this really giant hunk of metal.
And again,
we're talking about,
being the techno-libertarian that he is, people should choose and all that. And I understand that side, and they're...
People should choose, but what about me who can't choose?
Who can't choose because when this car is swerving into my lane.
Yeah, exactly.
And the truth is, is the sooner we get self-driving cars on the road, the sooner the number of road deaths plummets.
Right, of
because
course.
Cars are just
well, there
better.
Was that other interesting thing.
A robot can drive a car better.
Well, there was
than
that other really interesting – I can't remember who fucking published this. Might have been someplace else, but – the idea of – it was a survey. I was trying to figure out how to react to something, but it was like a self-driving car of how to make almost the equivalent of like a Sophie's Choice, if you will.
The trolley problem.
Right, where it's you have this and this.
And the problem with the trolley problem is there's no fucking answer.
Right. But it is, the point, it's a Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, there's no answer. Now
– but you have to still make the call.
The problem is, so if a human – chooses self-preservation and kills a bus full of children, we don't blame them because they chose self-preservation in a momentary instant.
Right.
If a robot chooses self-preservation and kills a bunch of children,
well, the question
is the robot any different to blame than the human? And there isn't an answer.
Right.
But
I guess the difference is, the real difference, and this is sort of where it becomes really interesting, and I think it's kind of cool, isn't so much of did the robot choose something. It's because, again, with robots, it's not Skynet.
Yeah.
You program this shit. Yeah. I don't care what, even if you have an AI that learns, you programmed it to learn something.
Yeah.
You gave it something as an example.
You have to tell it, save the driver or save the people outside. And that is an impossible question to ask.
Apparently we're talking about the same issue that Hello Internet post. The real question is to avoid the issue, not pick and choose.
And again, when all cars are self-driving, it is not an issue. The problem is, as long as there are still human controlled cars on the road, that decision has to be made.
But again, it's an interesting it's definitely an interesting conundrum.
It's
on a programmatic level. How do you program?
And you can even think of it like,
the idea of
the Asimov robot rules is, you know, don't hurt people, basically, is like, you know.
But again, it's the idea, how do you program in human empathy. And it's and
you
so,
don't. You just have to make a choice.
That's why. But there's that's all these sort of things stem from the idea of, because in other words, you're like a sociopath. You're not going to give a shit. You know? You're not going to give
a
fuck.
But like generally speaking, in the heat of the moment, most humans choose what they think will make get them out alive because we're
for sure. Yeah.
We are programmed from birth to try to live.
Right, and then I guess
and we only talk about it because we think about it after the fact.
I guess it just becomes interesting when you have even if we're all self-driving cars. Let's just say something went horribly wrong.
Well, the thing with all self-driving cars is then they communicate with
right,
each
and
other.
This is where
and they all know what's going on everywhere.
Right. This is where again I'm.
It's that it's right now we're
yeah. That's interesting.
The programming problem is for now. It is not forever a problem. It is a problem
right,
for now.
I agree. And again, I found it interesting on a programmatic level of how
oh, yeah.
do you,
it's hard.
You know what
it's in the reason you
how
can't,
do you, how do you program human yeah. empathy, but the idea of it is because again you as driver are not in control
yeah.
of what robot thinks, and if robot yeah. thinks this is this, and again it's a matter of everyone would be different.
It's basically do you want the robot to choose self-preservation or do you want the robot to count lives and choose to end the least lives. Literally what you're choosing
is. Is that going to be a toggle switch somewhere?
No, but like that's what you're programming for.
Is that going to be?
Because a sufficiently advanced vision system
I want that.
Will see the bus, be like, oh, there's 38 children on that bus.
Let's make this a, I want that now to be on my AC meter, where yeah. it's like, or I can say hi, low, self-preservation, say
kill
hi,
them all. Kill them all.
I love that idea of it being a switch, like
kill
right
them all or kill no one. It's like people who try to do no kill runs of video games, like
right
the
next
pacifist
to
runs. Like that's it's that.
Right next to the, it's right next to the. Oh shit! I hit the Bluetooth audio instead.
But the problem is like think of the people you know who you don't who you would. Not voluntarily be a passenger in their car.
Oh yeah,
and you know those. People.
Oh no, I want self-driving cars already. I want.
But that's the thing. Do you want the self-driving car to be programmed like them, or do you want it to be programmed like you? And the truth is you don't even know how you're programmed.
The
because,
last time we talked about this conversation,
yeah.
It was determined that I would have a self-driving car. I think. Powered by puppy blood, if I wasn't mistaken, or some crazy shit like that.
Something
like that.
Blood car.
Something like that. Like we made this. We had this. Like,
also.
Oh,
if
this
you
is
can,
a horror movie. That's
if
right.
You can find blood car.
That's right.
Watch blood car.
This is a horror
great.
Movie that we.
Such
this
a terrible movie.
Going back to that because I remember this is the discussion we had from that because we always do talk about fucking cars when it's you and I.
Well, it's because it's my thing.
Right, it is your thing,
and I like making fun of your Prius, even though I have accepted the Prius's place in the universe.
Well, because now you're in a town that has nothing but Prius.
I understand what it – I actually think –
Does that make your heart hurt every time you drive on the real road seeing every Prius in Austin?
No, I just
– Does it make
I cannot
you cry
wait until those Priuses drive themselves because
either.
80% of Prius drivers are the people you don't want on the road.
I may have to agree on that one.
You just – when you buy a Prius, what you're saying is –
There's a lot of jackasses on the road in Austin.
What you're saying is I don't care about my car. I just want it to get me places and not use a lot of gas. That is what the Prius is. If you want it, there are more interesting cars that would do the same thing at the same level of efficiency. That's the reality of it. But those people don't want to drive and they don't want to pay attention and they're the ones on their phones and everyone's on their phone here and it's ridiculous. And I feel like that you should be able to shoot at people who are on their phones while driving. That's how serious I am about it. Don't talk on your phone.
It's I mean,
don't text. Get a Bluetooth in your car. Like literally, you can buy a $20 adapter. I have one in mine because it's old enough that it doesn't have that stuff.
My Prius has it built in, but it's such a
You can talk on your phone. Don't text. Just don't. Yeah. It's that easy. Wait until you get to your destination.
Where whether you have Cortana, whether you have
you could
Siri
talk to your phone,
or,
but like
what's
seriously,
the, what's the answer?
There is
equivalent?
There is not one text message so important that you have to kill someone for.
But
it.
I'm saying you can dictate your text message. Like you can now talk to your phone, you know, whatever platform you have, and you can tell it to say, "Hey, send this text," you know, phone. Okay,
yeah.
Google. Text my mom that I'll be home in 2 hours.
And that we're getting really close to having stuff that does that
Siri text.
And that, but we're not there. So you know what? If you have to talk to someone while you're driving, call them. Yes. It's still a distraction, but it's far less of one than texting while driving, which is right. basically the equivalent of being hammered.
Yes.
And driving. And yes. There's one thing in the world so. I will really, really crusade against. It's drunk driving. I love drinking and I love driving. And that is why never the two shall meet.
Well, here in Texas, we have pretty decent.
And that is, they have huge fines for it. And I golf clap. Here's my solution to drunk driving. This is really simple. First time you get caught drunk driving, you lose your license for 12 months. And you get a big fine. 12 months is life-changing. It alters your life. You have to figure out how to get around without a car for 12 months.
That's a year.
Yeah, a year. 1 year. You will never do it again unless you're a horrible person. Round two. You get caught after that. You get your license back after 12 months. You get a second DUI. You lose your license forever. Because basically, to me, every time you drive drunk, you are essentially attempting murder.
Okay.
Because people get killed by it. I know.
Well, actually, I won't say his
it
name.
Is it is or manslaughter.
Like one of my cousins I think got a DUI, mm-hmm. and I don't know if he's got it cleared or not, but for him, where it threw him off was like at one point he was trying to become like he's a lawyer, and I think he's good applying for the state's attorney or something like that.
And it came up.
Well,
it should be a life-alteringly bad thing to happen to you because, you know, one of my friends from high school's dead.
Really?
I went to a high school. I graduated 27 kids. One of them got killed by a drunk driver our freshman year of college. Just guy was three times the legal limit and, you know, drove over the middle lane, plowed into her and killed her. And, like, here's the thing. Drunk driving is the easiest crime to avoid, and that's why the penalty. So, second crime, you lose your license forever. It is you have clearly you should not be driving.
Yes.
If you get it a third time, you just go to jail and you don't get back out. Because clearly you don't value life. If you haven't killed someone,
you're going to kill. That's fair. Okay.
You're gone. You have given up your right to be a member of real society. So this is what I will say. This is my educational moment. People make excuses for drunk driving. They say they go out and they got drunk and they didn't mean to and they drove.
Right.
You make the decision before you leave. If you go to the bar and you intend to drink, you figure out a way to get there that doesn't have car keys involved.
Yes.
Whether if you're in a civilized place,
I'll say this right now in Austin, there are actual services. Like there are people who are out there right now
trying to get you home safe.
That will actually do it for free. Not just Lyft stuff. Like, there's actually at sort of given events at certain things, you'll drive by, you'll see people with like signs that said like I am, you know, like a service. Yeah. I forget the company name that does it, but there are it's like a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, and that
they exist.
It's so easy. So all this is my thing. If you are going to drink, find another way there because then you'll have to find another way home that doesn't involve you driving a car. And in most cities, Uber and Lyft are totally a viable option, and it's easy.
And even taxis.
And even a taxi, whatever, public transport, whatever it's got to be.
You know.
If you're driving, you just choose not to drink. Maybe go out and have one.
Yeah.
After one beer, your judgment is not impaired.
Yeah. It's fine.
You're probably less than half of the legal limit.
I'll put it this way. If you're around me, I'll give you a ride back home. I don't drink, so I'm always a designated.
You make that decision, DD, and that's where you cut off. Then you drink your, you know, Diet Coke or ginger ale or water or whatever your preferred thing is. Here's the thing. Yeah. I've been to a bar many times with friends, and I was the sober one, and I still had a great time.
I'm always the sober one.
I had a grand old time.
I am rarely the drinker, and because of that,
you have someone, and like I had a friend who we used to trade off. Some nights I would be the driver. Some nights they would be the driver.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like you make a plan before you go out. And if you are – that is the big thing. If you make a plan before you go out, you will get home safely.
Yeah.
And you will not harm yourself and you will not harm anyone else. And you won't risk harming anyone else.
No.
Just make a plan. It's real easy.
It's easy. I mean
– And there is no amount of money spent on a cab ride home that is somehow worth a life.
Yeah. No.
You know,
absolutely.
if it is $100 Ubers on 8x surge price home, that is cheaper than the DUI ticket you would get.
That's cheaper
and
than
it's
everything.
Infinitely cheaper than killing someone.
That's cheaper than the lawyer fees you'll spend.
Cheaper than the lawyer. It's so much
all
easier.
The stuff you'll spend on this.
The big thing is you make a plan. It's like people who use that they got drunk as an excuse for cheating. No, you put yourself in that situation. You made a series of poor choices to get there. The cheating wasn't the poor choice. It was step one of putting yourself in that situation.
Exactly. Because there's nothing wrong. Because again, there's nothing wrong with drinking.
If it's done in a safe manner,
if you want to get blackout drunk, you get blackout drunk.
Do whatever you want. I don't care. A plan to get home.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
And like you know, I'll hear from a lot of podcasters out there that their plan, like I think like Bernie at one point, like the joke was he was like planning to get drunk, and he basically gave his keys to somebody. Someone said, "I am not allowed to use these. You hide these away from me." Or the way he did it, actually, he hid it somewhere that he knew his drunk self wouldn't find them.
And that's brilliant.
That's still a plan.
I still think it's worrying that, like, for me, when I'm very aware of myself when I'm drunk, and maybe that makes me unusual. Like, I know I should, like, I can tell myself I should not be operating a motor vehicle.
That's fine.
And I don't get that drunk unless I'm free of one.
Right, of course. And typically, like, even I don't really drink at all, but I know of friends that do, and I know who.
And you have a friend in your life, if you have any friends,
yeah.
You have a friend in your life who will come get you at 2 a.m. at the bar.
Yeah.
I've done it for people.
I've thought about almost doing that as sort of a thing.
You just tell your friends. You don't have to do it for everyone.
Typically, when it comes to like those events, I have become sort of that driver anyways. And
yeah.
And I know that you make
the other people who you're driving, they buy all of your soda or whatever you're drinking that night. They pay for it.
There's actually
that is their fee for you getting there.
There are some bars, and there are some bars, not all bars, but there are some that well, actually, usually I've never like it's I will be very honest. It's rare that I pay for a soda. I will always tip for a soda no matter what I get. Even if it says here, it's on the house, I will throw a couple dollars into the bin of just like, well, thank you for you know, because again, the idea is, oh, you're the DD for somebody.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where, you know, you don't have to be if you're like me, like you don't have to be the DD every time, but you know. Get a group of people. If you go out, if you have a group of people you go out and drink with.
Yeah.
You rotate it. And you keep that person who is sober, you make sure they stay sober.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you get another ride home.
I always, the problem is I always think of, this is an old, do you remember the old Simpsons Simpsons episode where Barney had to be the designated driver?
I don't, but I know just enough about who Barney is to know why that would be a hysterical episode.
Okay, so give a quick thing for those who've never seen The Simpsons. Barney's
the town drunk.
Yeah, Barney's the town drunk, and he hangs at the bar. And it's an old Simpsons episode where somehow Moe, the owner of Moe's Tavern, the local established
where
bar.
Where the elite meet to drink.
Yes. Basically, they're doing their designated driver kind of like Russian roulette, and it's like they pull eggs out of this thing, and whoever gets the black egg, whatever. And so Barney gets it right, and he's like, "Okay, well, I guess I don't have the drink. It's not gonna be so bad." And you just hear the literally like, Yellow's, "Oh yeah," and it's like, "No, not tonight." And like Duffman comes in there, is like, "Who wants to party?" And they try to give Barney a alcohol or whatever, and he's like, "I'm the designated driver." And Duffman's like, you know, the Duff Company respects it. It's like, not drink responsibly. Like, all right, now, who wants to party? Everyone. So everyone's like, have this like ginormous party around him, and Barney loses his shit. And it's like one of the better moments. I bring it up not as completely as a joke, but it's just like, it's one of those, every time I think of designated driver, like, because again, I'm so, like, I don't really drink. I can have a drink. I will take a shot. I will do X, Y, or Z. But typically, you'll see me at a venue.
It's not your natural state.
Right. You'll see me at a venue with a soda in hand, a some type of, you know, of caffeinated beverage. But rarely you'll see me with alcohol. And so I've gotten used to being that either assumed designated driver or just the, oh, cool. Well, if someone gets really hammered, I'm always like, I can give you a ride back if need be. And, you know, they're like, oh, it's just fine. I'm so bad.
And to the world, if you have that person in your life who is that person who will drive your drunk ass home, thank them profusely. like buy them dinner sometime or something. There's many, many problems that can be solved by buying someone some pizza or a cheeseburger.
It is
just be appreciative, because they're not just saving your life. They're potentially saving someone else's life.
Well, because again, a lot of it is, you know, and I've gotten used to like the best, I think the best times I've ever given people rides have been those sort of random happenstance moments. Like I was at South By and I had gone to a movie. I forgot what movie it was, but it was there at Slaughter Lane.
Mm-hmm. From our apartment's a hike.
Right. Well, from anywhere, it's a hike.
Like, unless you live way south of
Austin. Even downtown, it's a hike.
It's a hike, yeah.
And the thing is that everyone took, you know, some type of vehicle there. And I don't remember Uber. I think people, you know, but there's no Ubers around there. Uber still a thing? Lyft was still a thing. There's nothing around that area.
Yeah.
And I had my car, so I drove there and parked and did whatever. And somehow I bumped into these people who were all, you know, film badges, whatnot. And somehow we got to talking, because we all got out of the movie and started talking about it. Somehow all this kind of coalesced.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, and somehow I was like, well, if you guys are looking for a ride, I give you a ride back downtown. I'm heading that way anyways. And they're like, are you serious? I go, yeah, totally, fuck it.
You were the hero.
Yeah, it was a cool moment, and they all gave me money for gas. Like, they all just handed, put money in there. I didn't even know how much money they put. They just randomly put it. I just filled up gas really quick, and that's about it. It's like, okay, yeah, totally. And, you know, they put, like, dollars, whatever. I put my credit card in, put the gas, and they literally put money there, start chit-chatting. When they're all, like, film guys. They're all film badge people, so they're all film things. And I dropped them off at their respective hotels, and that was it. And that was the end of it all. And it was
made the world a better place for that.
Yeah.
You made the world a safer place.
They weren't even drunk. It's just they couldn't get back home.
Or that.
But that point being is that I've learned that a lot of those times, it just becomes a part of the adventure for me. And thankfully, you know, if you're a throw up drunk, you know, puke outside, you know, please puke.
Don't puke in the car.
You know, please puke.
If you're going to puke, get that window down before.
Not even get the window down. Just like, all right, are you going to puke? Cool. All right, we're going to go here. You're going to induce this.
Yes.
Before you enter the car, induce.
Even better. If you're capable of doing that,
I will flat out tell you this. If you are a drinker and you are not an alcoholic, but like a heavy drinker, you get to the point where you want to ride with me in my car and you're about to puke and you know you're going to puke, just induce vomiting already. Get it over with. You'll feel better. I'll feel better knowing you've already done it. And that way it's just like, cool. Well, you don't have to do it again. You know, you've already puked your entire guts out. And she's like, oh, I feel so much better. Let's go get food. I'm like, you don't need food. We're just going to take you back home.
And if you puke in someone's car, you pay for it to get detailed.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you pay the decent human being. All right. We have hit the hour mark. We are completely out of time. We have definitely gone beyond.
Don't drunk drive. That's my message tonight.
Patrick, Andrew.
Or street race.
Or street race or anything else. Andrew, always a pleasure to have you on. If people want to follow your adventures, your misadventures online, where can they go, sir?
At The Swagger on Twitter. I do a podcast about music called Record Breakers. It's recordbreakerspodcast.com. At the number 4 Record Breakers on Twitter. We talk about music. We just finished wrapping up our second annual Hip Hop Month, where we just sort of picked 4 hip hop records in a row.
What got picked, out of curiosity?
Okay, so
I know I'm breaking my
pick was Watsky's Cardboard Castles, because it's I thought that was a really good record. Brett bought Crisscross Totally Crossed Out, which I was like one of the first 5 albums I ever bought. Like I had that on cassette. What else we did? Drew did Bone Thugs and Harmony,
right?
Which was really good. And Petey did Salt and Peppa. They're the one with all the hits on it. I forget what it's called.
Salt and Peppa here, and we in a
It was a good time. We talk about all sorts of music though. Like for example, I'm trying to think what's coming up next. We do a fair amount of Korean music because Petey loves K-pop. We just did a band called Life and Time, who were like seemingly an indie band, except they're like prog band level. Musicians, really cool. Go check out the Life and Time and their album Land,
for sure.
I will shout them out. They were cool. They're like really good. Kind of interesting.
Sure. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. They're on the Twitter. So you want to catch previous episodes of the podcast, you can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, our Twitter account at 8bitlife podcast, and other things. Now, typically, we do go live on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Central. And of course, you can always watch that there at the website, diamondclub.tv. But for all you iOS users out there, I don't know if there's an Android app yet, but I know there's an iOS one out there. You can, of course, download the Diamond Club TV application. if you'd like sort of an app sort of thing, if you want to be able to just kind of quickly have it or have push notifications sent your way when any show goes live, not just 8-Bit Life, but other things on there, make sure to leave a review. Let people know what you think about the app. I think it's important to have reviews on applications. It actually does affect how rankings of whether an app comes up right away. Like, because you look up Diamond Club, other applications come up right off the bat. And so adding a review or two can determine when, you know, the algorithm of the iOS app store can search
it. Yes, 5-star reviews mean everything, the content of which, in terms of the words, don't.
Yeah, just make sure to word your review, because like, even though...
And I presume with any new product, constructive criticism is welcome.
Well, because I'll say for like with 8-Bit Life, I will read reviews and I will take them to heart, you know, whether it be hyper-negative or hyper-positive.
Just,
at least,
beat yourself up over them.
I will interpret what things are, and I've gotten, that. So I'm always,
like I said, constructive criticism.
Yeah, exactly.
If you like a thing, say you like it. If you think it could be better, say, hey, maybe try this.
And don't be
a dick on the internet.
And the great thing about the iOS version and iOS store, App Store, I don't know if Android does this, but I know iOS does it. It will show reviews for your specific version and all versions accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you can so if there's a new update where it fixes something and people have reviewed like this bug is longer present, it'll only show those reviews for that
version.
Or
it'll show that the new version is broken and
right.
You can avoid
or that kind of thing.
It.
Right. Or that kind of thing or that people have said there's some glitches, and it happens with apps, but that being said,
that's why they make a review thing, so you can be like, yo, fix this, and then they'll fix it.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure to give an honest review of what you think of it. It's an application, but...
And don't be an unnecessarily dick on the internet. It just makes everyone unhappy.
Be constructive. Share your thoughts. Go to the iOS App Store, and apparently there's also a Roku app and an Apple TV app as well. But right now, I'll be honest, I consume so much more content on my iPhone than anything else.
See, I don't. I read on my phone, and I listen to music and podcasts on my phone. I watch no video on my phone.
I watch so much video on my phone.
I watch nothing more than like a minute of video. If I want to watch a video, I like the YouTube app on the Xbox One's fantastic. Also, DiamondClub.tv works really well in the browser on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
You can't do the chat, but if you just
want
to view
it, works right in the iOS browser too. But yeah.
If you want an app experience.
If you want an app experience. And
apps are good.
Right. And so, go ahead and download it. Of course, if you want to support this podcast individually, if you want to help this one get better, more awesomer, head to patreon.com/8bitlife and throw a few shekels or, gil or whatever fictional currency you
doubloons.
Want. Doubloons.
Throw doubloons at it.
I prefer Zenny. I think Zenny's the... I think Zenny's the Pokemon currency, I think it is.
Oh, I forget.
Simoleons is a sim currency.
What was the Rosebud was the code for like piles of money in Sims?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, those were the days.
So that's it for today, and tune in next time. I'll talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.